Welcome to Experience Health Radio, presented by Cingala Consulting. Cingala Consulting was founded on the basic principle that the patient should be at the center of every decision made by healthcare organizations. Our mission is to help these organizations realize their investments in technology, employees, clinicians, and most importantly, their patients. We bring together industry leaders on air each week to engage in conversations about the patient experience with a focus on the developments in areas that have the greatest opportunity for improvement in healthcare today.
And good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I'm Fran Horner, co-founder of Cingala Consulting and the host of Experience Health Radio. As always, we're excited to share with our audience our experiences and the experiences of our guests live every week at 11 a.m. Central Time and on demand through our website and downloaded through iTunes. You know, I read a very interesting blog by Kevin Levy that really got my mind reeling. He says that now is the time to start thinking about your overall customer service capabilities, strategies, and resource allocation, and I couldn't agree with him more. So, you know, this really leads me to ask you a few questions. For example, do you have the right call recording system and the right quality monitoring technology in place, and are you really focused on the right metrics? So in today's broadcast, I'm going to explore some very interesting statistics and offer some tips and some suggestions on how to improve overall customer satisfaction. And I'm taking these from a number of 2013 customer service stats to help you in 2014, but we're already in 2014, so we better get started. The first statistic comes from Forrester Research, and it says, surprisingly, that 42% of service agents are unable to effectively resolve customer issues due to disconnected services, archaic user interfaces, and multiple applications. So when I really thought about that, I thought, you know, one of the metrics that attempts to measure this idea of disconnected services and resolving customer issues is really FCR, or first contact resolution. So what is first contact resolution? That's a good question, because I think first you have to understand that what first contact resolution measures is the number of customer calls that get resolved during the first contact with the contact center agent. So if you have a high FCR rate, it means that fewer customers have to call or email again for the resolution of their issue. So a high FCR rate is good. It means that you're closing out that first contact and resolving that caller's issue in the first call. And it's important because it translates into both the customer and the call center saving time and money. And I thought I'd put together some tactics on improving FCR pretty much in any call center. So in this regard, the first one is always train your agents well. You know, training your frontline agents in the nuts and bolts of your business operations, it might be expensive in the short term, but I would contend it's one of the best investments you can ever make. Having knowledgeable front-end agents are your best guarantee for a high FCR rate. The second thing is to really provide them with cutting-edge tools. You know, a well-trained agent can do little if they don't have good customer service tools and resources at their fingertips. And we talk a lot about calls, but I think you really need to invest in an efficient live chat solution that identifies where the other person is chatting from. Deploying those tools that have, you know, superior analytics capabilities baked in. Look at a blended solution so we can minimize those interfaces. And use knowledge resources that make updating your FAQs and your, you know, your database, that repository of information in which the agent can immediately get to and can immediately find the information they need. It should be as easy as writing an email. You know, if you avoid conflicting metrics, it really will help you determine the quality and profitability of your contact center. Some of these metrics like time per call, those are business metrics. They really aren't customer-oriented. If you focus on things like how long is the duration of the call, you're really incenting of a poor behavior in the agent. If the focus is on reducing the time per call, they might find FCR rates falling as agents will be looking to wrap that call up as soon as possible. And in the end, who's getting shortchanged but the customer? I think you should also focus on call types that are frequently escalated. This takes a little bit of work because you need to analyze your call center communications, go through all of those monitored calls to find out which are the most frequent calls that are being escalated to the next level. After understanding the issues that prompt these calls, you need to take steps to minimize those escalations. Is there additional information that's needed on the website so they're not picking up the phone and then having to be transferred again? It may be anything from more training to larger number of self-service options on the website, but it does relate in a change in your business operations. And you need to do whatever needs to be done so that customers don't have to call too often. We're a call center, but you know our goal is to reduce the number of calls and increase the opportunities for self-service. And then finally, be clear in customer communications. This is a part of agent training, but it also merits its own point. Sometimes customers call again when they are not very sure how the matter will be resolved. And some calls get repeated when either the customer or the agent starts assuming things. So be sure that agents are very careful to avoid chances of miscommunication. Customers, they need to be aware of all the aspects of the case, so there's no need for them to call again to confirm. If they get a sense that the agent isn't knowledgeable or confident in that answer, they might dial again just to see if they can get a different answer. You know, I should throw in there to incentivize your superstars. You know, as a manager, if I want to improve my first call resolution rate, I would be smart to institute an incentive program for employees who hit that, you know, that goal number. This incentive can be tied to other perks, and it can be in the form of a bonus, a promotion, a recognition, but I do see that incentives work well, and they certainly do support the right behaviors in our agents. And I guess the last thing I would suggest is to really get the agent's feedback. You know, we talk a lot about customer feedback, but instituting a system of soliciting feedback from your agents, I think that's really a great plan. They deal with customers all day long, and they can provide their insights on what changes need to be made to improve your first call resolution rate. So in particular, I want you to ask them about workflows, about systems, and processes that need to be tweaked to achieve higher rates. So I'm going to leave you with this question on this topic is, are you focusing on improving first call resolution in your customer service department and in your call center, and what steps have led to an increase in that rate? It's a good thought-provoking discussion that you can have amongst your own manager and supervisor teams. You know, another interesting statistic according to Right Now Customer Experience Impact Report was 89% of customers have stopped doing business with the company after experiencing poor customer service. And I have to admit, when I read that, I was quite alarmed, and it led me to do some further research that I could really confirm that number. But based on a number of different, surveys and research that's been done, I found at least 86% will stop doing business with you because of bad service. And more importantly, 51% will only give you one more chance. I think that's important, that they're telling you you can win them back, but they're only going to give you one opportunity to do that. And I think the scariest thing that I read is that companies only hear from 4% of unhappy customers. You know, we think our customers are very vocal, but the fact is they're telling people, they're just not telling us. I think we'd all agree that great customer service, it assists and drives retention, which turns and leads to continued profit. So I read a great simple formula from the Harvard Business Review article that said companies that boost their customer retention by as little as 5% saw increases in their profits ranging from 25 to 95%. And the simple formula that I really took away from that article was great service equals customer retention equals profit. And so the reverse of that also has to be true, right? So poor customer service hurts retention, and it leads to lower profits. So what do we do about that? I think the most important thing that you can do is that you really do have to focus on that differentiator in delivering service and making sure that any unsatisfactory disputes or complaints are resolved. And I think that's especially hard in healthcare. What can you do to retain customers and profitability? Because we know in healthcare it's expected. Patients expect to, they expect that healthcare is going to provide them the highest level of clinical excellence and compassionate care. That's a given. But in today's competitive market, I don't think it's enough, and I don't think you think it's enough either. You have to be willing to give your customers a memorable experience. You must give them something to talk about as well as an extra reason to earn their loyalty. So it goes beyond just good customer service. It goes to wow. And we've talked a lot about what a wow experience looks like. But I think over the years I've learned that customers who experience wow, it's more than just the service they receive. It's also the emotion that drives the loyalty to your organization. And I think the best way to do that is to really make them feel welcome. Let them know you're glad to hear from them, you're glad to serve them, and your purpose is there to serve them. I think it's important to also make them feel comfortable, give them the assurances that their needs will be met and that they're understood. You know, it's one thing to listen, and it's one to listen to understand. And listening to the meaning of their words as well as the feeling behind those words will be a great impact on customer service. Make them feel important and show respect. I think, you know, those are all things we learned in kindergarten, but making them feel like an individual and a person and not a number. And then show them your appreciation. Show them the appreciation for them as an individual and as a member of the community. Because what we do know is that customers are 2 times more likely to share a bad experience than they are to talk about a positive one. So if we give them something positive to talk about, and we listen, and I mean truly listen, when they talk, you know, we're going to be able to really help raise our level of customer experience to that loyalty level and really drive a difference in our customer experience strategy. Let me shift gears here, because another interesting statistic from eConsultancy says that, not surprisingly, consumers still prefer telephone assistance to any other channel. And when we talk multi-channel contact centers, those are all mediums in which, you know, customers want to interact with us. Their statistics indicate that 61% of everyone who is surveyed still wants to use a phone. Email is closely followed at 60%. Interestingly, live chat is 57%. An online knowledge base where they can look up information themselves is at 51%. But click-to-call, that support automation, that's 34%. So it's not surprising, but, you know, having said that, let's consider that live chat has the highest satisfaction level of any customer service channel with 73%. Compared to 61% for email and only 44% for telephone interactions. And quite frankly, I can tell you why live chat works the way it does. It's because it combines the best of phone and email and avoids that pain of having to hang on to the phone and listen to music and listen to the agent typing when they're trying to find information. I have to tell you that it is the best of both worlds. You can engage and disengage at your pace, not when, you know, the agent decides it's time to stop talking. And when I take a closer look at the stats and the value of providing live chat for customers, not only does it have that highest satisfaction level, but I think there's a challenge with it, because only a smaller number of customers are using this in the past year, but it's also the fact that sometimes you can't translate fast enough typing the answers, and it's become one of those automation things where you go, hi, my name is Fran, and I'll be with you in a moment. You know an agent's not typing that and that it's automated. So you have to find somehow to engage that customer in a way that it really makes a difference so that it doesn't feel so automated and so robotic. I know that phone and SMS are currently the lowest rated customer service touch points with 44% and 41% respectively. But I got to point to bad IVR design and long wait times as the main source of frustration for those, for certainly for phone users. So my advice, I guess it's, you know, pretty simple. Make sure you have the right tools in place. And the right tools include a speech analytics application to ensure like script compliance and call quality and a resource to use for your agent's training programs. The critical success factor is really using a proven set of best practices for implementing speech analytics into any business environment. Because we know what the benefits of those can be. They're really about improved operational efficiency, having that enhanced insight into that customer experience, hearing it, and being able to categorize it so it's easy to find and search. You know those calls probably have thousands of hours of call recordings in your call center, but finding them is like finding a needle in a haystack. What you want to be able to do is mine that data so you can deepen your market and business intelligence. I would suggest you look for a cloud-based voice of the customer analytics solution that automates the and analyzes those contacts across all communication channels, not just talking about telephones, but I think it's important that it's multi-channel analysis that looks at calls and email and chat and even social media. It needs to be real-time, so you can do real-time monitoring, but you have to also do the majority of it post-call, post-call because those analytics do require, you know, some behind-the-scenes configuration, but certainly delivering on those actionable insights to contact center staff and business analysts, and it's got to roll up to the executives. The results will include, you know, an improved agent performance, certainly operational efficiency, but what we're really looking at is how do we improve that customer experience? Because what we know is for every customer complaint, it says, according to Lead Resources, there are 26 other unhappy customers who have remained silent. So my question to you are, do you know who your detractors are? If you're doing that promoter scoring, who are your detractors? And how, what are the issues that they have? The key importance is understanding what the customer needs and wants, as well as any concerns they have. And listening to and understanding that voice of the customer is critical to restoring trust and building that customer loyalty. Ultimately, those customers who listen to their, you know, those organizations that listen to their customers will win their business, and it will set them apart from the competition. It's a clear differentiator. But you have to gather that feedback on a regular and routine basis, and quite frankly, if you're going to gather the feedback, your customer is going to expect that you're going to respond quickly and in a timely manner. And there's a couple of ways to do that. So to get that customer-related feedback, you might want to look at doing some quantitative surveys. Certainly go through your customer's complaints and their compliments. Any suggestions or concerns or issues that they voice, you want to pay particular attention to those. Any of the post-episodic, you know, your after-discharge surveys or transactional surveys, as well as any patient experience data you have. And then once again, reach out to your employees. Employees are patients, and they will be happy to share with you their experiences. But I think the most critical part in responding to customer feedback is establishing this closed-loop feedback process. It entails setting up and maintaining a formal process so anyone, there is someone who's responsible for following up on every piece of customer feedback that gets submitted and tracking each of those submissions through resolution. I mean, that's the way to ensure that every significant piece of customer feedback receives the level of attention and response that it deserves. And quite frankly, that your customers expect. And I always have to ask this question, but who do you think is responsible for increasing customer loyalty and engagement in your organization? And I know it's rhetorical because the answer is everyone. Everyone in the company needs to be responsible for this activity. In the end, companies must provide employees easy and readily accessible access to this customer feedback so that they understand that the voice of the customer data is being used effectively across the organization and that the organization is elevating their customer engagement metrics to the same level of importance as things that they see, like financial and operational metrics on an overall company level. It's as important to know that your customer metric is a core value for employees, and that will help them feel like they can do something to influence this measurement on their own, that they have the ability to impact the level of service and the way that our customers feel that they're being treated. I have a couple more statistics that I want to share with you today. One is the Aberdeen Group says that on average, agents spend 11% of their time looking for information needed to manage customer interactions. And, you know, I can confirm that having done a number of assessments across various organizations. We all know the call center is a process environment filled with customer, business, and transactional information. And the work that's performed is repeatable and measurable workflows day in and day out. It's the ideal format for achieving and sustaining excellence. Unfortunately, most call centers are set up to manage people and not processes. Those work tasks and activities are organized to serve functional departments and goals. So those department priorities overshadow the overall enterprise need. And what does that result in? Its consequences are really frustrated inbound callers, excessive transfers between agents, inconsistent customer service, ineffective outbound calls. And in the end, this is all on the back of your customer. So I think for many call center leaders, firefighting has become the method of choice to manage these challenges, and that real-time valuable information is lost in the fray of day-to-day survival. And so, you know, I kind of call that controlled chaos. That's really what it is. Who's running the asylum here? It's that inefficiency and waste that becomes part of the system, and it really does rob your organization of profitability and its competitive advantage. But there is light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not an oncoming train. The fact is, process management methods can completely resolve that controlled chaos and replace it with stable, predictable, and effective processes that deliver the full strategic advantage of your call center. But you've got to look beyond those functional activities and redefine which core processes matter the most. So take the time to arm yourself with the understanding of the inputs, the outputs, and the interrelationships of each of those processes so you can understand how your core contact center processes interact in a system. That will help you locate process flaws that are created as a systematic problem and evaluate which activities add value and which ones simply don't. You know, it's that stop doing those things that just don't add value. Be able to mobilize your team to streamline and improve processes. And, you know, there might be an incentive built around that for a great idea. It'd be worth it in the long run. But we know that properly used, call center process management can really change your entire approach to running and improving your operations and reduce the cost of operations, as well as being able to identify the root causes of those system quality problems. You know, the last statistic I think we're going to have time for today is also from the Aberdeen Group. It kind of caught me off guard because it said 46% of contact centers identify improving agent productivity and utilization as the main objective. And that kind of goes contrary to what I believe. I contend that the contact center's main purpose is to retain customers in order to maximize and protect the organization's greatest asset, which is actually its customers. In other words, it's the contact center's responsibility to retain customers so they don't go to the competitor. And instead, giving that value and that extra wow that ensures and creates customer loyalty for the organization. So I'm not sure whether or not agents sitting in a seat are, you know, the key drivers in customer retention. Certainly, they're essential to a well-run organization, but it doesn't put the focus on quality, but rather on quantity. And I'd have to point back again to first call resolution that we talked to earlier, and also to finding out what the real issue is. If you ask an agent what the problem is, they'll probably tell you the availability of real-time support. You know, it's the complex calls that take the longest. Those are the ones as you're analyzing. Look at what the complexity is and why the agent isn't empowered to resolve it. But the other side of that is they're also finding difficulty getting real-time support. You know, a supervisor, someone they can escalate the call to, an online manual that will point to the answer, or even an escalation queue, some process in which they can get the caller to the person who actually has the answer. Fixing the reasons why customers have to call two or more times is one of the most valuable initiatives that call center management can do to improve, you know, their call center customer sat, their first call resolution, and to retain customers. You know, as we're drawing an end to our call today, I think the last thing I wanted to share is a stat from eConsultancy again, who says that only 26% of companies have a well-developed strategy in place for improving the customer experience. And I have to agree. I think that, you know, it's like measure twice, cut once. I think we do a lot of jumping into it without really establishing and planning, developing and implementing that customer experience approach, because we know that it requires organizational change. Addressing all of those customer touch points and looking at interactions over every medium, whether it's a phone, it's on the web, it's a mobile application, it's a lot to focus on. But focusing on that customer experience means that an organizational strategy and their objectives are really about the full patient experience, that full life cycle of a patient that a customer has with the organization, from that first impression all the way through fulfillment, billing, and closing out their care, and, you know, really leading to their next one. I think that if you begin at the top, so where the like a chief customer officer resides, and he looks at customer focus as a priority, that leadership has to believe in the mission before it can trickle down to the organization. And I think there are some other things that you can certainly look at, but from my perspective, it's really about organizations needing to respond to customer feedback, to listen to the customer, and being part of that ongoing improvement effort. Every piece of feedback represents an opportunity for improvement. And in my humble opinion, that's why your organization needs a customer experience strategy. Without one, you'll tend to mix and match best practices. And that might be great in some cases, but it won't necessarily align with all the customer experiences that you want to deliver. You've got to have someone who's able to drive the customer experience across all departments and business lines and orchestrate a cross-functional team that can develop a customer experience strategy and then work it and drive it deep into the operations of all key departments and business units. Establishing a governance to prioritize that steady stream of projects and being able to mediate conflict is really critical to ensure it's sustainable. And there has to be that leadership and accountability in order for any of that to work. Well, that's it in a nutshell, and that's the world according to Fran. It is coming to an end, but I invite you to join us next week as the conversation continues. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for joining us today, and please visit us at SingulaConsulting.com to learn more about how we can help your organization realize their investments. Remember to always put the patient at the center of every decision you make.